Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Holy. 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 The Lord wants us to practice, not just when we're in a meeting. When you're at home and you're alone and you're worshiping Him, practice being one with Him. Practice laying at His feet and kissing His feet, kissing His hands. You know, God isn't looking for great performance as much as He's looking for His bride. And that's a learned thing, you know. You learn to love. You learn to love. You learn to worship. You learn to dance with Jesus. You learn to hold Him in your arms. You learn to kiss His eyelids and His, you know, right up here, right here, you know. To dance with Him, to skate with Him, to sit with Him by the river and stick your feet in the water, you know. You need to practice hanging out with Jesus. And I don't think I'm overstating this, all your problems will be solved. Yes. That's how problems are solved. Just waiting for a minute to see. I want to go exactly the right way. Waiting for my people, waiting for my people to learn. Wanna come before me, spend their time with me. I'll teach you everything. Some things are not learned from books. Some things cannot be learned from books. Some things are only learned from intimacy. And one lady said, I don't like that word. And I said, okay, let's pick another word. Relationship. Bride. Groom. Marriage. Closeness. Oneness. One. That's what Jesus wants from us. More than anything else. And you say, but I'm called to be an evangelist. Yes, and guess what? You will be a far greater evangelist when you and He are standing as one. Trust me on this. When you're standing as one before the people, then He will minister in His power through your mouth. But if your vision of Him is that He is in heaven and you are on earth and you're doing it for Him, it will be powerless. A formula. Jesus is raising up people who are willing to say, you know what, I don't really understand this, but I want to be the bride. I don't really understand it, but I want to be so close to You that we become one. That's what Jesus is looking for in this day.
I saw a picture of
person that had carried their troubles, like almost like in a backpack or in a bag. And you've carried them a long time, and you occasionally sit with Jesus and you beg him to take your troubles out of this backpack and solve them. But I saw a picture of you sitting with Jesus. You were sitting with him, and you had been on a long road, like in the desert. And you'd come to this oasis in the desert. And you were sitting by the water. And he said, with a smile, "Why don't you take that backpack full of troubles and dump it in the water of God? Just dump it right in." And I saw you take that backpack, like a backpack full of rocks. And I saw you just dump it all, like you poured out the rocks, and then finally you just dumped in the backpack, like you just threw the whole thing in. And he looked at you and he smiled. He said, "That's what I've been waiting for." Because the water of God, it solves everything. There's someone here, you've been far away. You've gone a long way, far, far away. And I heard Jesus say, "Welcome back. Let me help you. Let me help you. I will teach you and I will mentor you." Take it on yourself. I saw you writing an outline. You actually sat at your desk and you wrote an outline of your plan of how you're gonna grow strong in God. And that's not wrong, especially if the plan comes from God. But I saw him take even that plan and put it in the water. He said, "I'm gonna do something so much bigger and so much better." He said, "You see, I saw this day years ago in your life. Even when you walked away, I saw." He said, "I didn't condemn you then, and I don't condemn you now. But I already have a plan in my back pocket. It's called my plan of restoration." He said, "This isn't just some Bible verses. This is something that is specifically written for your life." I'm talking to one person. I think you know probably who you are. "I've written a plan. He said, "My plan, it's perfect." He said, "Because I know who you are. I know who you are on the inside, and I know your calling better than you do."
the wounded soul. Father of creation, we give you full control. Come have your way in me, O Lord, set my spirit free. Jesus, send revival and start the work in me. Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Jesus, come and fill me once again. Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Fill me with your word and life. Come fill me with your spirit. Face, to live in your presence, in your glory and your grace. It's not my will, but yours I choose to follow to the end. So mold me and make me, let a new day begin. Jesus, Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Jesus, come and fill me once again. Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Fill me with your word and wine. Holy, fill me with your spirit. I want to see your face. Presence in your glory and your grace. It's not my will, but yours I choose to follow to the end. So mold me and make me, let a new day begin. Jesus, Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Jesus, come and fill me once again. Lord, I hunger thirst for your righteousness. Fill me with your word and wine. Fill me with your word.
Sash around your waist being given you. The Lord says you're being equipped. Getting a new wardrobe. Saw the Lord breathe into you. He went like this. Receive. Sometimes
solene frente te. Se non anco sia te ne sia si.
Someone here said, I've waited so long. He said, today's your day, tonight's your night. New robes, new clothing, new keys, new wisdom. Holy. Holy. I saw old things passing away. They were passing right out of you. Some of you have cried out for a little deliverance, a little change. Get me free, you said. Get me free of this. And I saw stuff just passing out of you as he breathed into you. Old things are passed away. When the books were opened, I saw books being opened. I saw the Lord reading to you out of a book. Sentences that were about your life, about you. They were under your name. He came to the page, to the heading where your name was. And this is why some things haven't made sense to you. Because you didn't hear what was written about you. You hadn't heard what was yet written. But this is the day, he said, we're entering into the day where I'm preparing my people, not just my whole bride, but my individuals. Those who've been faithful, those who've been crying out, those who say, I don't even know how to do it, but I'm crying with all my heart. To some man, he says, I'm making a new man out of you. You asked me to. He said, I'm tired of being like this. I've been like this as long as I remember. You just said that this week you said, man, I'm so tired of being like this. He said, I'm making a new man out of you. He said, you'll look in the mirror, you won't recognize what you see. He said, I am delivering you, this man, this person he's talking to. He said, I'm delivering you once and for all. Because you would do better than fall back, do better than fall back, do better and then fall back. But he said, today's your day. You're done with that thing. I am delivering you. I'm preparing my bride. There's someone here, you've been very, God loves you and you love him, but you've been very self-absorbed all your life. And you know it. We're all pretty self-absorbed, to be honest, but Jesus is delivering you from something tonight. You're getting a heart of compassion that you didn't have before. Sometimes people have told you, this is one person, just one. Sometimes people have told you that your words hurt, because you can be very direct. And God is changing you. He's giving you. I see him putting, I saw him actually reach with his hand into your heart and release a compassion, his compassion in your heart. You're going to feel more and more that love of God that's shed abroad in your hearts. know it's released by His holiness. His holiness releases our freedom. His holiness releases compassion, tenderness, forgiveness. Not just His forgiveness for us, but the ability for us to forgive others. I'm changing you forever. Some of you will look back and say, that stuff is gone. I don't even know what happened to it. Well, it got lost in the presence, never to be found again. This is a very strange vision, and if I didn't know the Lord pretty well, I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't be courageous enough. But I actually saw the Lord with one of those bank bags like in the old cartoons, a bank bag full of money. And He said this, He said, I have what you need. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. I'm very rich, He said. I have what you need. There's someone in here, you've kind of been fretting about the future. And He wants you to know He is more than able. Open, open, open up the heavens. And breathe your holy air. Someone's lungs, something's coming out of your lungs. And I'm not entirely sure. It looks like it might be physical healing, but it actually looks like something spiritual. you have any sort of lung disorder, receive your healing. Any sort of COPD, asthma, allergy, any type of lung problem, any kind of bug. Jesus is the healer. He's releasing. He is releasing. Headaches are leaving. Chronic headaches. This isn't a headache. This is a chronic problem. He's healing someone's neck that has caused this is a strange word, but there's one person here that your mother actually pronounced some really negative words over you, and it acted like a word curse. God is releasing you. I see that thing uncoiling and unwrapping and going. No more bound, no more bound by the lies of the enemy. No more bound, I'm redeeming you from the curse. I'm redeeming you forever, he says. You know, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm redeeming you from what people have thought of you, have said of you, all the opinions of man. He says, he's saying it, I'm not saying it. He says, I'm releasing you from the words that have been spoken over you, to you, about you, and even by you, that don't line up with my word. For I have spoken a word over you. I have said a thing about you. And I want you to be 100% in agreement with what I have spoken. And not with what everyone else has said or thought. Humans have no idea. No idea. Most of the time they don't even know what they're saying. Many times you don't even know what you're saying. But he says, I have said a thing over you. I have spoken a thing. I have declared it, and I do not want you to live in disagreement in thought or word or deed. I want you to line up with what I've said, for what I have said is magnificent. It is magnificent. It is magnificent. And these late things that have happened in the earth and in towns near us, I break the effects of it off your soul. The political stuff, the media stuff, the opinions and the arguments and all the stuff that gets said, I break it off of your soul. You're called to a higher thing. You're called to a higher place. You're called to a heavenly place where that stuff has no place. It has no say. It has no place in your life. It should have no place in your soul. Be careful what you let into your soul and what you speak out of your mouth. Your opinions are not always the same as my opinions. And you would do well, he says, to find out my opinion and speak that and only that. Otherwise, shut up. Because you only damage yourself and the body and the lost. And I understand it's hard to watch. I understand these things should not be happening. But I need you in the earth speaking what I'm speaking. I need you in the earth hearing what I'm saying and delivering that and speaking it, yes, even when you're alone in your living room. even when you're alone in your car, because you have power when you speak the word of the Spirit. You have power when you speak the word of the Lord. Have I not called you prophetic? Have I not called you a prophetic people? It would do you better to pray for a month to hear one sentence from me and speak it in the power of the Spirit than all your talking does. For I have things to say in the earth, but my mouth is in heaven, and I need mouths on earth that will speak the glory and the power and the redemption and the change. Don't be so sure your opinions are the same as mine. Don't be so sure, because there's hidden things you cannot see. There's things hidden that you can't see, but he says, I can see them because they're in the Spirit. I see strategies that have come forth from hundreds of years ago. The enemy has planned this for a long, long, long time. You can't just enter in and with your intellect figure it out. I don't care what you saw on Facebook. There are things you don't know. But he says, I do know. I'm asking you, come and sit with me. And if it takes you a month, that's okay, but get my heart and speak my word. You have no idea the level of power when a human becomes one with the Spirit and the Word of God, and they speak. It is one and the same as if I spoke it. That is how I do miracles. That is how I reverse the course of events. That is how I turn the tide of the sea of events that seems impossible. That is how I do it, and that's the only way I do it. I said, that's how I do it, and that's the only way I do it. So stand to attention in this day. Stand to attention in the Spirit. And you say, I don't know how. That's okay. I will teach you, he says. That's okay. I will help you. I will mentor you. I will teach you how to stand in the place of the Spirit, in the power of the Most High, and speak things in the prayer closet that no man and no devil can deter. Did you ever notice in the Scriptures that when I spoke a thing, it was instant. It was as though I said, let there be light. Instant. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Lazarus, come forth. Everyone there said it was impossible. Everyone there thought I was crazy. They laughed me to scorn. Have you read your Bible? They laughed me to scorn. I said, the child is not dead, but sleeping. They laughed me to scorn because they knew in the natural she was dead, but I knew in the Spirit. I said, I knew in the Spirit what was really going on. She'd taken a little nap. Yes, her body had physically died, her heart has stopped, but she was taking a little nap in the presence of the Father. Little girl, I say to you, arise. I'm telling you, come into oneness with me, and you will see miracles. Come into oneness with the Word of God. Come into oneness with the Holy Spirit. Spend the rest of your life. Make it your priority. Make it the first and the only goal. And I will take care of all these other things. I'll take care of them all. All these things you worry about, all these carnal, earthly things, I'll take care of all of that. But I am demanding of people who pay attention. For too long, people have put me last, put me aside, and said, I'll get to you when I get time, Father. When I get some time, Lord, it's time now. It's time now, and I want my people to be on deck, all hands on deck. And there will be a remnant who will step forth into that position, and they will do the works of God, and they will do them in power, but they won't do it by their flesh, and they won't do it by their carnal understanding, and they won't do it by what their emotions think politically. They will do it by what I say. And sometimes they won't even understand the words that come out of their mouth until they see the manifestation and they say, oh, that's what he meant. That's the way of the Spirit. Make it your priority. Make it your first priority. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the place of heaven, the place of sitting with me, living with me, entering the throne room. It's yours by covenant right. I died for you to have it. Free entry. Day or night, I died and shed blood to tear the veil forever. 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 That anyone who wanted could come in and fellowship with me. Spend time with me and learn my heart. The problem with a lot of my people is they think they're smart and they think they know answers. They don't. I love them and I have all truth and I will give it to whosoever will. But I desire a people who will humble themselves and say, Lord, I don't know how, but if you'll show me, I'll do what you say. I don't know how, but if you'll show me, I'll learn how to hear your voice and speak it exactly as you say, no more, no less. And I won't add to it and I won't take away from it. I won't filter it through my opinion and my doctrine. I won't add my politics to it, Lord. I'll get exactly what you say. Teach me how, and I'll say exactly what you say. Because when you do that, you will see the miracles of God. You will see the tide turn. You will see as though it were the ocean shifting to another direction. Satan desires. He is sending wave upon wave. It's not one wave. It's not two waves. Listen to me. You've only seen the beginning of what he desires to do. Do you hear me? People who think, well, this will soon be over. I'm telling you, you've only seen the beginning. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humble yourself to a point where you say, I don't know anything, Lord, but you know everything. Teach me and I'll do it. Teach me and I'll say it. And that was all from the Lord. And I'm just going to say this out of experience. One thing I know, one of the strongest things you can ever learn in the place of prophecy is when to not speak. Because in the place of the Spirit, it's being accurately in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. I want to paint a picture for you, and it's a picture God gave me when I was very young, and He was teaching me. He gave me this picture as a series of pictures. I saw a man standing before the Father, and the man was facing the Father, and just his hands were out, and he was worshiping the Lord. He loved the Lord, and that was good. But then over time, I saw the man turn around, and his back was to the Father, and his arms were out, and the Father was behind him. And the Father would whisper a sentence, and the man would say it. And the Father would whisper the sentence, and the man would say it. That's prophecy. But then the picture I saw was that the man, with his arms out, stepped back into God. He went inside him. Interestingly, I could still see the outline of the man. I could make out his form in the Father. But this is what I saw. When their arm moved, their arm, it moved as one. When they spoke, one. God gave me that vision probably 40 years ago. But what He was saying is that this is the journey that you are to desire, to become one with the Father until you are so in Him that you just do what He wants. And you, if He doesn't want something, you stay out of it. You know, a lot of the troubles we have, we wouldn't have if we just stay out of it. Keep your mouth shut. Don't go there. Because sometimes God isn't doing... I've seen stuff where I would have surely thought that God was going to intervene. And He was like, nope, I ain't doing that. My job is only to obey. There's a lot of stuff taught out there about prophecy. I'm just going to give you my opinion. This is holiology. I think a lot of it is hooey. Okay? Some of it is very real and very accurate. But one thing God has put in my heart, be a purist. Work at it with the Lord. Work with the Lord until He trains you to give only the purest, meaning you don't add anything. You don't take anything away. You don't have an opinion. You don't have an opinion. You're just the mouth. You say it like you hear it, and you say no more. And if he's done in the middle of a sentence, it's like sometimes it's like you hit a brick wall, but you're done. Don't keep talking. Just, you're done. And if the Lord is weeping while he says it, you want to get so close to him that you're weeping while you give it. And if he's commending someone and his tone of voice is like this, then that's your tone. And if his tone is compassionate and tender as though he's forgiving someone, then that's your tone. And if he's correcting someone, warning them, the goal is to be so in him that you say exactly what he's saying, exactly the way he's saying it. Now that doesn't happen overnight, but it is worth spending your whole life. Because when you live that way, you don't just live that way so you can prophesy to other people. You live that way primarily because your life will be in victory. Because he will give you what to say when there's a situation, and maybe it's just a situation in your life, nobody even knows about it. And you think you're going to solve it a certain way or pray a certain way, and all of a sudden you get this sentence. You're like, you say it, and boom, it's just something you wouldn't have even thought of usually. Because he's so far beyond us. His wisdom is so far beyond us. Sometimes he's given me stuff to say that I just thought, all right, that's weird, but I'll say it. And then I see a miracle because he had the wisdom. It's called a spirit of wisdom and revelation for a reason. The spirit of wisdom and revelation causes you to walk in the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom tells you what to see. A word of knowledge says, here's a situation. I see a situation. Let me just give you an example. I see someone's back right now. This is a word of knowledge. Your back, right in the middle of your back, there's like a little, you know, one of your vertebrae is either out or it's bulging, and I see a bulge right now. And this is a real word of knowledge. That's a word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge, you're going, hey, that's me. The word of wisdom is what God says to do about it, or it might be God is healing you right now. God is healing you right now. So word of knowledge and word of wisdom flow together, and it's God's way of saying, here's a situation just so you know he sees exactly, and you know it's him because only he knew, right? It's a secret. And the word of wisdom is, here's what you're going to do about it. And that word can change thousands of lives. Can heal any disease. We've seen significant diseases healed. Just one sentence. And we weren't operating. Now faith always works and the word always works. But this I'm talking about the gift of the spirit of word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So you can be healed a zillion different ways. So many ways. But I'm just specifically talking about this. And I'm telling you, when you seek the Holy Spirit, because he is your mentor. He is the knowledge of God. He knows all things. He is the mind of Christ living in you. The Holy Spirit is the mind of God living in your mortal body if you're born again and filled with the Spirit. So you understand that in your body is all knowledge. You just have to access that and study your brain. Some of you are so persuaded that you're smart, or you know more than God, or you have the answer, and it's failing. And listen, how many months does it have to fail for you to say, okay, I guess that wasn't right? And sometimes people are so stubborn, I love you, but they're so stubborn that they keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. How many months will you push before you finally say, well, maybe, You know, you're pushing God to do it, begging him to do it, you know, walk, pacing up and down, telling God to do it. Methinks there's a problem, and it isn't God. Here, I love you. I love you. But take the hint. Generally speaking, if that's the case, something needs to be adjusted. It's not that you're in horrible sin. I'm not saying that. But something somewhere between heaven and earth, right? It's either between heaven, could be the second heaven, could be the demons, could be warfare, could be there's a little something going on in your soul that needs to be dealt with, right? A lot of times it's that. Could be a little attitude adjustment. But I assure you, the problem isn't God, especially if it's a Bible promise that he has promised you, and you're saying, I can hear someone in here. You've been saying, but you said in your word, but what's the deal? You said it in your word, but I'm not seeing it. And you know what we're saying then? Well, you're the problem, God. You basically lied to me. You said it right here, but it's not happening. Come think about it. That's what we're saying. But the fact is, he's saying, I love you, and I've already died. If that's a Bible promise, I already died. And by covenant gave that to you, and it belongs to you, there's a problem, and it ain't me. So you need to ask and work with the Holy Spirit to say, what is causing that problem? Is it warfare? Do I need to break some words? Is it witchcraft? Is it a family issue? Is it an attitude in my heart? I had an issue recently, and those of you who know me, you know I'm always looking for correction from the Lord. Always. Because I think we all need lots of it. Especially me. And remember when we had the lockdown and there was no public meetings? And I started doing meetings at home and I began to say, boy, I like this so much better. You know, because when you have a meeting, it's a huge amount of work. You know? And, you know, just saying, it's a lot of work. And sometimes for us, it's an hour and 15-minute drive each way, and you're, you know, Rach and Ryan, they come like a zillion miles to some of our meetings carrying the stuff. Well, I began to say to myself, I don't want to do it anymore. Just quietly, I say, man, I don't want to do that. If I could just do this, Lord, this would be great, you know. Well, when the thing opened up again and it was time to have meetings again, I did not want to do it. My emotions were like, I don't know. And I'm like, what's wrong with me, God? What's wrong with me? I want to do exactly your will, and I know you're telling me to do these meetings. What's the matter with me? He said your word cursed yourself. You kept saying quietly over yourself, I don't want to do it. Well, who do you think heard that? Your emotions. So when it was time to do it, your emotions went, I'm doing that. I don't want to do that. Find somebody else. So what did I have to do? I had to repent of saying it, and I had to break those words and bring them before the Lord and say, I am so sorry. I break those words in the name of Jesus. I apologize. And Father, whatever you want me to do, I will do it, and I will do it with joy, and I will do it happily because it's an honor and privilege. And if you have me drive to Southeast Asia, I will do it, and I'll be happy about it. You understand? What we say can mess us up. That's just one example, but I could give you hundreds. We have issues for a reason. We have blockages and blockades for a reason. And most of the time, beloved, it's us. Think about this scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In proportion with, to the measure of. And some of us, don't confuse the soul and spirit. The Bible makes it clear those are two different things. Okay? In your soul, which is your carnal mind, your intellectual mind, your will, and I'm going to say to somebody, you're stubborn, controlling, hallelujah, I love you, will, and your emotions. Some people are led by their stubborn will. Some people are led by their emotions. And your soul has stuff in it, brokenness, right? If you were broken, if you were scarred, if you were wounded, what do we do when we're wounded and broken? Is a lot of times we develop survival techniques. And that gets us through, but it's not always the best thing for us. then those survival techniques cause us to be a little bit mangled and crippled in the spirit. And when God tells us to do something, we can't because we've got this thing, right? Think about it. If somebody, I'm just going to say it. Let's take three little kids. Let's say three 10-year-old boys. And there's a bully in the schoolyard. And one day the bully just beats up the first little kid. Just really beats the tar out of him. Now, it's not what happens to you. Listen to me. It's what you do with it. Here's the problem. Let's say little boy A gets into fear of bullies. So for the rest of his life, now he becomes a grown man. He's in business. Somebody comes across as kind of a tough guy. He goes into retreat mode and hides, right? Because that's how he dealt with survival. Let's say little boy B, same bully comes up, beats him exactly the same way, and that kid is like, he takes on, I'm going to get you before you get me. He grows up and gets into business, and some guy comes along and acts tough, and he goes on the offense. Did you ever meet somebody like that? I know you did. If you were ever in the corporate world, trust me, you see it all the time. I'll get you before you get me. That's a spirit. See, what happens is now both of those guys, grown men, if they don't deal with that, it's in your soul. Because what happened is quietly you made a vow. If I see a bully, I'll run. I'm not going to let him get to me. Now what happens? Now you have a soul hook. A spirit of fear comes on. A spirit of intimidation can hook onto that. All these different strongholds come and hook to that because it's not in your spirit. You can't touch your spirit, but it's in your soul. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. But I have these strongholds. What are they hooked to? They're generally hooked to vows we made or lies we believed. Scars that we had that we didn't know how to deal with, so we just did it the best we could. So now we've got a guy who's got fear and intimidation. He's the placator. You know what a placator is? You know, you just make peace. Anything you want, you bet. You don't want to deal with it. Then you got belligerent man. I'll get you, you know. Hey, that guy's a pain to be around. You know, you say, boy, I really like that guy. What's wrong with my car? Nothing. Right? Come on, these are problems. There's reasons we don't behave well. And if we don't take the time to ask the Holy Spirit, we'll never know. Right? Every person reacts differently. Let me just say this. I don't know if I've ever met a human that hasn't been through hard times. If we took a poll in here, I bet every single person in here has had heartache, probably abuse, mistreatment, disrespect at some point or another. There's people in there that lost a business, had a failed marriage, had a kid reject them, one of their own kids reject them. Come on, let's be honest. I don't know if there's a human that hasn't had some of this. And so we do the best we can. And God does not condemn us. He actually gave us survival techniques to keep us alive as a child through the abuse. There are children who are, I can't even tell you. As a minister, I hear a lot of stories of what has happened to people. I'll just tell you one. One person I know was an atheist for many years because she said her earliest memories, like age 2 and 3, were that if her father showed up in the doorway, he was the most terrifying monster that anyone could ever imagine, worse than anything in the movies. So then when people said, God is your heavenly father, she was like, I want nothing to do with him. I'm an atheist. And she wasn't just an atheist. She was a proactive evangelical atheist. She tried to persuade people because she wanted nothing to do with that type of father. You know what? Most of us would react exactly that way. People act the way they do for a reason. They do. If someone's acting ugly to you, you know, be gentle because they've been beat up. You know, we deal with some humdingers, I'll tell you what. And you know, we have to continually go before the Lord and say, help me see their heart and help me to help them get free. you know, and we get beat up. And it's lovely. Hallelujah. We do. We have a couple of beater-uppers. But we know that they were beat up. And so we can say, oh, God, give me your compassion. Oh, God, I want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, God. But we have blockages that stop us from being able to behave like Jesus. And what we try to do is mask our behavior, right? So we know that's not okay behavior, so we learn how with most people. I kind of wonder when people don't have any mask, and they don't care if you think they're mean. That's always fun, thinking, good heavens, where's your mask? Like you don't even know that's not okay behavior, to just be mean in church to me regularly. But most people have this idea because they understand religion well enough. Well, I'm not supposed to behave that way, so I'll mask this and I'll mask that. And it's like we become this one big giant mask in front of each other so we'll be acceptable in church, right? But that's not wholeness, and that's not really Jesus. And he is by no means condemning us. We are all on this boat. How thrilling. And so I believe when God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. He's not kidding. God desires for you to be blessed abundantly, walking in victory in every area. He actually wants to show off through you. Did you know that? He desires to show himself off to the principalities and powers. The Bible says so. He wants to make his manifold wisdom known to the principalities and powers through the church, through you, through me. He wants to show himself off. Say, well, you look at that. You were mean to that person, and they just forgave. And they loved anyway. Look at that. That's how God thinks. And so God actually truly does want you blessed, walking in victory, walking in wholeness and holiness and joy and peace, no matter what the crazy world is doing. And that's a gift from God that Jesus bought for you. He wants you walking in perfect health inside and out, but he said, as your soul prospers. In other words, here's the thing. He made you, whether you believe this or not, he made you a sovereign entity. He gave us all free choice, so it is an act of our will to make those inner vows. Here's an inner vow. I'll never trust anybody again. I'll never trust women again. I'll never trust men again. Come on. That's an inner vow. And because God gave you free choice, you made it. He can't unmake it. So you can say, God, fix me. God, deliver me. Oh, God. And you can beg for 18 years, and he's going to say, I love you. And if you ask me, I'll tell you what happened. He'll even take you back to the very moment that it happened and show you your reaction. But your job is to then say, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't even really get it, that's what I was doing. I apologize. I repent in the name of Jesus for making that vow or believing that lie. I renounce that in the name of Jesus, and from this day, I choose to believe this or say this or go this direction. Now, what just happened legally? I'm talking about spiritual law, not under the law or not carnal law. Spiritually, legally, what had just happened? You had an open door to the devil by that vow or false belief system. You just legally shut the door in the devil's face. Now he cannot attach to that. He has to go. He has to go. You have opened the door to God's blessings. I'm telling you, this is the easy way. This is the easy way. That's what Jesus meant when he said, repent and be converted. I'm telling you, it's easy to walk in victory. It's easy to walk in the blessing. Easy. But we have to love God enough and revere him enough that we know he knows more than we do. And some of us are so busy telling God what to do and how to do it, when we should be saying, show me what's really happening here. What's happening behind the scenes? It may be something in the soul. It may be something we spoke, something we need to maybe go apologize to somebody. I love that when that happens. That's always thrilling. Man. But it could be war in the heavenlies. You know, there are times when sometimes it's just an all-out assault and you got to deal with it in the spirit. Okay? So I hope this has been clear. I hope that it opens the door some aha moments. Because God, I'm telling you, in this day, God wants to raise his people up to a much higher level. But it's kind of up to us. You know, when I used to just beg God and kind of, frankly, yell at God because I thought, you know, your word says it. What gives? What's going on? What's the deal? You know, God so gently and so lovingly told me the ball isn't in my court, basically. The ball's in your court. And you can go how far you want to go with God. And there is no limit in his mind. It's only in us that there is a limit. God wants to remove, he wants to help us remove all the limits. But because we have made choices, we are the only people that can unmake those choices. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.